that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard, and we're coming to you live from the Radio Ranch just outside of Laramie, Wyoming. Let me bring the other guys on. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And good morning, John.
Good morning.
And we say good morning to you, the remnant, all over the country and really all over the world. Had prayer requests, I know, Wednesday night from Canada and New Zealand. And we thank you for joining us from all places, and we do welcome you here, and we'll open up with a word of prayer, and then we'll have the phone lines open this morning, and John, would you open us up in prayer this morning?
Sure. Heavenly Father, we do come before your mighty throne this morning, humbly but boldly, and Lord, we cry out. Just as your word says, in Abba Father, Lord, in Romans 8, that we have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs also. Heirs of God and fellow heirs of Christ. For indeed, if we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. Lord, help your people, the remnant, to realize as they go through these trials and tribulations and tests, that we are to consider the sufferings of the present time not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Heavenly Father, help us to be anxious for the longing of creation as it waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. Lord, our prayer and our petition is that we would be those sons of God, your remnant. And Lord, you would raise those sons of God up all across the land and in the world, Lord. Those that will not bow their knee to Baal and boldly proclaim no king but King Jesus. Lord, your word says, when two or more are gathered, then you're there also. We ask you to come, Lord Jesus, and be our guest this morning. And bring your myriads of angels. Guide and direct our thoughts. Grant us a special anointing as we come before your throne and say, what is it thou wouldest have thy servant do? And here we are, Lord, use us. Lord, we can see Babylon crumbling around us. Through it all, Lord, strengthen our faith. Give us more Holy Spirit guidance. Lord, help us to earnestly desire those greatest gifts and seek to take all of our thoughts captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Lord, we do ask that you would bring us to that place where we need to be of complete obedience. And by doing so, you will keep your word, that you will punish the disobedience of those that hate you and hate your people. Lord, there's nothing but the blood of Jesus. We claim that blood over your people, Lord, as protection, as a blessing, to protect them from the diseases and the plagues of Egypt that are coming upon us. We thank you, Lord, for the answer to these prayers, Lord. We thank you for these praise reports that we continue to receive. I thank you personally, Lord, that you've used me as a tool to wake many up here in the local Judeo-Christian church that are starting to have the scales removed from their eyes and their ears unstopped. And Lord, I ask as I lead this Bible study on Wednesday mornings that you would give me the words that I need to speak, Lord, that I would not try to cram the truth down the throat, but give me the proper amount of salt, Lord, so that I don't ruin the food that's already there. And we praise you. We thank you for this time that you've set aside for your people to come together and to encourage one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking the assembly, as is the habit of most of the world today. Lord, bless your remnant. Keep them, make your face shine upon them, and be gracious to them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, looks like the Northeast got a little snow. Oh, they call it a deadly blizzard. Buries the Northeast. 2 feet of snow, that's pretty solid. Strong winds, and looks like it's going to warm up, and they'll have some flooding afterwards. But, hey, it's wintertime. One of them good old-fashioned winters. I always like to, wintertime, we've got that book, Blizzard of 49, and that's a good one I like to have out around the house for the children to read and take a look at. And, you know, when they see the snow over the roofs of the house and the pictures that are in that old book, they don't complain too much about a little bit of snow that we've got. And also like to read with the children the old Little House books. And there's one there that's called The Long Winter. And, we get winters here in this country. They get them in the Northeast. We get them out here. Got friends down in southern Arizona. Of course, they're still 68, 78 degrees. And Florida's the same way. But it's wintertime. And, you just have to be ready for it. And if it's a heavy winter, well, you get a heavy winter. God knows what's best. You know, it's God that, I think maybe you were talking about that maybe Wednesday night, if I remember right, somebody, Jason or somebody was, but it's God that sends the wind, the snow, the rain, or it's him that holds, and it's also him that holds it back when that happens. So, anyway, it's wintertime. Our prayers go out to the remnant up in the Northeast that are getting hit by this, that God will keep you safe, keep you warm, and just stay home if you can. Stay home if you can.
Yeah, I think the bigger threat is the ice storm that's hitting, like, North Carolina and other areas.
Yeah, I haven't. We were outside. I was outside moving snow and got the snow blower on the big tractor and had some drifts around the haystack that the cattle were eyeing pretty suspiciously. So we ended up didn't get a chance to look over the news a whole lot.
Yeah, it's warmed up quite a bit down here in the last couple of days, but
supposed to be some weather coming in, I think, on Sunday.
Yeah. But we just went through, and, you know, last Monday we celebrated Martin Luther King, or we didn't here, but as a nation did. And, a lot of people, it's been, you know, that's something that happened such a long time ago, that people really, there's a lot of people, a lot of younger people out there that don't know the true story about Martin Luther King. Oh, they, you know, they'll tell you, you know, you ask people, you know, why are we, you know, taking this day off? Why is this celebrated as a national holiday? And hardly anybody can tell you, you know. And if you look into the matter, you know, it's how can we celebrate such an evil, wicked person in this land that you know, and have a national holiday for it? You know, is the question we really ought to be asking. We do have a book. We got a couple books. One by Pastor Peters that is a good, quick read. It's called Martin Luther King, His Dream, Our Nightmare. And then we also got one by Des Griffin that we in the print here too. And I can't remember the name of that one. I think it's I just had it, but I can't remember it. But anyway, we got a couple books on it, and we got a couple CDs on it, and. You know, as you look into it, it's pretty amazing how you can go take somebody, how a nation can put somebody up and exalt somebody as a hero, as a reformer, as, you know, somebody that did something for his people. When the truth of the matter is, when you look into it, and you look into it all, you know, however, which way you want to, and you'll come up with the same facts. And the fact of the matter is, he was a lowlife. He was a womanizer. He, you know, was caught, I don't know how many times, sleeping with the choir girls of the church at the age of 15. And, you know, he employed these white prostitutes and had them in as his aides and was working on them. And, you know, there's one of the investigators that was investigated back then. So they said they had 15 file cabinets that were completely full of equipment that were marked obscene that they couldn't show the public. And you know, you look at how a nation has taken somebody that it was filthy, was disgusting, was cheat, was an embezzler, that was involved in drugs and womanizing, and just a completely immoral person, and now they put him up to have a national holiday in his memory. And, you know, you think about, I was thinking about it, you know, this last week as we, you know, had that day come around again this year. And, you know, I believe that could have an effect upon a nation. I mean, when you're putting something up, holding something up so highly, you know, that you shut down the post office, you shut down the banks, you shut down the government offices, you declare a national holiday, you send the children home from school, and to celebrate a person who is a completely immoral, backstabbing person, what kind of effect does that have on a nation? And, you know, I thought about that, and, you know, just kind of a curiosity. But I encourage people to look into the matter, you know, get educated on it, because I asked several people this last week on Monday, on what the world or this nation calls Martin Luther King Day, Why do we celebrate? And tell me about Martin Luther King. And nobody could even tell you about anything about Martin Luther King. I mean, why do you have a holiday, a national holiday, of something that nobody knows anything about?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it's because we are, as a, in God's eyes, we're a wicked and sinful nation. Some of the radio stations on Monday were playing part of, his famous speech, I Have a Dream. that's about all it was a dream. Because the people that he was talking about, the people that need to be, as he said, he had as a dream where the people will be judged by the character that they are and not by the color of their skin. Well, it's shown to be that, about 90% of the time, the bad character goes with the color of the skin. It's not spoons that make people fat. It is the character. It is what they do, what they don't do. Our word tells us that. How many times have we read, even there at the end of the book, that God says, I am coming to repay each person according to their deeds. And, when you have a people, that are doing that, evil deeds, whether it's fornication or rapes or murders, we've talked about it before, the black community has all but been destroyed since the Civil Rights Movement and the Civil Rights Act that was passed in 1965. It has been all but destroyed. Because before 1965, the prisons in this country were not 65% black like they are now. And before the Civil Rights Act, you didn't have, you had intact, the black family was intact for the most part in this nation. The black father was in the home. The black children were in the home and in the school. And most of the time in church on Sunday. And it's not that way now. Two generations later, of course the unseen third party, they motivate the blacks to blame whitey. It's your fault, John. It's your fault, and it's your fault, Jason, and it's my fault that these poor unfortunate Utes, are in the situation that they're in, and. You have to look and see who. I thought it was interesting, Jason, when you said that. He hired the white prostitutes. I know he used white prostitutes, but I would bet you that it was some Finkelstein or Goldstein that had him hired. That was his campaign manager that set up the stops for him, that financed him, that still finances, the Sharptons today. It highlights that unseen third party. At least it does, in my opinion. That is always manipulating things behind the scenes. The absolute truth, the truth of the matter. You spoke it. This man was not the type of man that would that a Christian nation should be exalting. Not at all.
Yeah, I mean, just basically a communist son of hell is what he was.
Yeah.
The other book that that we got was Martin Luther King, The Man Behind the Myth by Des Griffin, and that does a really good job as just explaining and giving some good information. And, it's worth reading them, or it's worth ordering them and having them on the shelf for next year so that you can, become a little bit more educated on some of these things. And so I just wanted to bring that up real quick while we had it. I can't remember how many CDs. I think we got two of them on Martin Luther King.
Yeah. Yeah, it's truth is what it is. Now, truth doesn't care if it's politically correct or not. And this truth is certainly not politically correct. It's not. But it's truth. And so if you want truth, well, there's truth in that booklet that Jason talked about, Martin Luther King, The Man Behind the Myth. There's truth in that book by Des Griffin. I think that's Des Griffin books. The other one, Martin Luther King, His Dream, Our Nightmare. It's truth. Now, if you want that truth, it's available. We'd be glad to send you one. We don't have it. They're not real expensive books. A little booklet's only a few dollars. But if you want truth, you know, we are to buy truth. We are to seek truth. Jesus Christ said, I am the truth, the way, and the life. And, you know, those that seek Him find Him. But, you know, those that don't seek Him, it's rare that they find Him. It is. It's really a simple matter, but so many people don't understand that, you know, the word is true. If you knock, the door will be opened. If you seek, you will find. If you ask, it will be given to you. Very simple concepts. But we just can't seem to, our people just, they don't want, they're too busy with everything else, it seems like many times. But the truth is there. Now what you do with that truth, you know, if you want to buy it, if you want to be like one of the wise virgins and have that oil when the time comes, that oil of understanding as our pastor taught on, it's free, but it's not without cost. I hope that makes sense. It is a free gift, but you have to buy it. And I'm not talking just about buying a book from us. You have to pay that price. John, I think you mentioned that in that price that's paid in an article that we're printing right now in newsletter volume 1 of 2016. You mentioned that there's a price to pay for that truth.
Absolutely. And our pastor paid a great price for disseminating that truth to the remnant.
Well, and sometimes just one of the things that happens is you just don't get very popular with the people when you tell them the truth, you know. But when you tell the truth and you you believe it and you stand upon it, and you know, a lot of times people will turn their back on you and they'll turn around and walk away with you, and they don't want to have anything to do with you. They don't want to be seen with you. They don't want to be associated with you in any way, shape, or form. And, you know, as they grow is what I found. I was talking to a gentleman last week before, I can't remember, and, you know, he called me and asked me, you know, he said, how do I talk to this person about the, you know, about the Lord, or I talked to him about some of this truth? And he said, you know, I've tried, and, you know, and I said, basically he was talking about, he told me about the man he was trying to talk to, and it was an elderly man, and, you know, I told him, I said, pray for him. I said, just pray and pray and pray, pray for him. I believe that's the most important thing you can do for somebody after you've planted a seed, after you've tried. You know, it never takes if you just try to shove it down their throat and shove it down their throat and shove it down their throat. And, you know, I found that very ineffective when dealing with people. But if you, you know, take it and plant some seeds and give them some truth and continue to pray for them, a lot of times that's the trick right there is, you know, for them to get that anointing, Father, for them to get that, you know, nudging of the Holy Spirit, and for them to come around from it after that.
Amen. Amen. Well, guys, we got a phone call. Let's go to the phone lines this morning. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Oh, good morning. This is Mark.
Good morning, Mark.
Hey, good morning. I know it's a communist conspiracy. It's something that it is, and it has been for a long time. But I wanted to talk about the, or actually read the scripture. It's in Exodus chapter 19 and verse 16, and it says, it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings, and thick cloud appeared upon the mountain, and the sound of the trumpets exceedingly loud, so that all the people that were in the camp trembled. And I read this in another book. I mean, this is in the Bible, but I read it in another book, and I can't remember where it was at, but it was not, it's not in the scripture. But when this was happening, when this thunders and lightnings were happening on the mountain, the kings of that part of the Middle East came to Moses, and they thought the whole world was going to end because what we would call a tsunami or a huge wave. It came and hit the Mediterranean coast, and it wiped out all the people that were along the coast. And we might even contribute that to, because we know that God creates all the things in the heavens and on the in the earth, and we could contribute that possibly to a comet coming by and causing this. But you know, the people trembled, and in 2002, December 2002, I traveled the coast of the Gulf Coast of December 2002, January, February 2003, to warn the people of what there was going to be destruction upon the Gulf Coast. And I didn't know which one was going to come first, but Jesus also told me, he took me to the East Coast, and I traveled the East Coast, and that was in 2004, in 2005, and he told me that the East Coast, the entire East Coast, is going to be taken out. It's going to be 50 miles, the water's going to come 50 miles inland, and it's going to just sink the land. So New York City and everything within 50 miles of the coast is going underwater, and everything within 100 miles is going out to sea. And that was in 2005. And I came back to Illinois in 2005 of August, and then Katrina happened. And so I've been warning people since 2005 concerning the East Coast, because I believe Florida, the whole state of Florida, is going to be taken out too. And when this water comes, God told me that this wave would be 150 feet tall, moving at 400 miles an hour. And the Word of God, it also says too, it says in Isaiah chapter 25, it says, the earth, verse 19, it says, the earth is utterly broken down, the earth is utterly moved, the earth is staggering exceedingly, and the earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be shaken like a booth, and its transgression shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. And I believe that there is a celestial body, a comet, but I do believe that there are two other celestial bodies that are coming towards the earth. And the scientists, what they do with all their calculations and everything like that, they can't see it. They're looking for it, but they can't see it. They know it's out there, but they can't see it. And, you know, God's keeping things hidden, because that's why it's called the Day of the Lord. Because all these things are going to come together. And it's just like you were saying, because in Isaiah 24, verse 5, it says, the earth also is defiled like its inhabitants, because they have transgressed the law, they changed the ordinances, and they nullified the everlasting covenant.
Yeah, if you read back even the story of Sodom and Gomorrah and Lot, you know, when the angels come and visit Abraham, it says in Genesis 18, the outcry of Sodom and Gomorrah is indeed great, and their sin is exceedingly grave. I will go down now and see if they have done entirely according to its outcry, which has come to me, and if not, I will know. And, you know, I think this is the Lord here speaking to Abraham in a language he can understand, and it is the sin in the land. The blood cries out from the ground. All creation groans at the revealing of the sons of God, and we, you know, we as those sons, we are to warn the people. That's for sure. We are to warn the people.
There's what they call the Syrian African fault line. Now, I believe Russia and China are in the Middle East.
Well, Colin, I'm a hold you off for a second there. You know, we can believe a lot of things. We can believe there's going to be a 500-foot wave. We can believe it's going to be fire coming. We can believe that Planet X is coming through. There's no doubt, about those things. Don't really have time to get into huge Bible studies and to throw a bunch of different things like that out. What we do know is that the thief comes, or that the enemy comes like a thief in the night. And that no one is going to know. You don't know. You don't know. I don't know when Christ is coming back, when that when that final time is coming. There's going to be tribulation. There are going to be times of distress, probably times of upheaval in this land, whether it's from governments and people or from the land itself. Absolutely. And so we encourage the people to be right. Be like those wise virgins. Have that oil of understanding. Be ready. Be ready. It's when it talks about they trimmed their wicks, our pastor taught us, it said they had their homes in order. Okay? They had their homes in order. And, you know, you don't just picture, these are not young ladies that it's talking about. It's talking about us. The parable is talking about Christians. But, caller, we appreciate your call. Very interesting comments there.
And I think the most important thing, too, is Luke 21:36. Be on the watch and pray that you may be counted worthy to escape the destructions to come.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
He's always protected his remnant. He always has. Always has. Well, 307-745-5913 if you do want to call in. And hopefully you're reading your Bible. If you are, you're reading about some of the things we talked about. You've read just this month. You've made it through the book of Genesis, and you've read about Abraham and about Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah. And, you know, you'll read some more about that here in the Gospels. When Christ himself rebukes some of the places that, some of the cities that he did miracles in, rebuked them, said, you know, cities, woe to you. It'd been better for you can remember Sodom and Gomorrah when you reject me. It's gonna be that way again, and it certainly is. We're seeing part of that now. Jason, did you? I think you did. You replied back, but we got a brother, one of our Acres men, Patrick, and had sent out a note. It looked like, I didn't have details on it. Didn't get a chance to talk to him, but it looked like one of his daughter's school assignments, and the writing was, tell about someone important in your life that's impacted your life. And the little girl writes about Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus Christ is important in my life. He gave his all for me and this kind of stuff. And the teacher marks out in red the words Jesus. And she says, take Jesus out. And, you know, we read about that in the big cities. We read about that with Common Core. There would have been a time just a few generations ago that a teacher would not have dared do that. That they would have understood.
That's not to say about the big F that is circled in the top left corner of it.
Yeah, failed. But you know, praise God, because I know Patrick, I know his family, they love the Lord, and Patrick will teach his daughter, and his daughter will learn what the Scripture says. When Jesus Christ said, the world hated me without a cause, and if you follow me, the world will hate you for that same cause. And it does. Now, we understand that. We've had the world come against us in different forms and shapes and fashions. And many of the remnant out there are right in the middle of that now, having the world come against them, hating them seemingly without a cause. You know, why would this be this way? Because we love Jesus Christ, because we follow him, and the world hates him. And so, this little girl, she's learning that at an early age. And that's a good thing to learn. You know, when God's word is proven to you, it's one thing when you read it, and, Jason, I think you had said a week or two ago, you know, we have to apply it. It's one thing to read the word, but then we have to apply it. It has to be applied to our life. And that's belief. That's believing it. It's when you live your life according to what you know.
The proper response to write on that and turn it back in is, well, my Bible tells me that every knee will bow and every tongue will profess, and you have a choice.
Yeah. Yeah. You know,
I've been using that one a lot lately.
You can humble yourself or be humbled. And it's a lot better to humble yourself, that's for sure. That is.
Yeah, and then also tell them that better to have a millstone around your neck than cause one of my little ones to stumble, you know? Those are the Bible verses that we need to make sure that we memorize so that we can recite them at the proper time. And when you put the effort in to memorize Bible verses, and they're not that hard when you just ask the Holy Spirit, more Holy Spirit, wisdom, understanding. Ask the Lord to help you to memorize these Bible verses, but it gives you so much more credibility in the heat of the moment when you're battling against these people who, they may not hate the Lord, they just may not know.
They just don't know
the truth.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
But I mean, let's face it, a lot of the ones that have infiltrated the school system, they are the enemy that come to steal, kill, and destroy. But there's those out there, too, that may have never had the opportunity to hear about Jesus Christ or that there is a hell. You know, there's very few churches, if any, that teach that there is a hell, and it's a hell of a place, and you don't want to go there, and you want to be obedient to the Lord so that you don't go there. So I think that's what we need to do as the true Christian followers of Jesus Christ, start to take our Bible seriously, start to memorize these Bible verses and be able to recite them, you know.
Yep.
If you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father. When you see a Christian who's afraid to stand up for what they believe because of persecution.
Yeah, and that time's coming, and the people need to be warned that time is coming, but that just what you said, John, that Christ himself said that, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. So, you know, and that the world hated him, so don't be surprised when it hates you. You know, how many times did our pastor put that out? You know, because the people don't realize that. It's a simple truth.
Yeah.
It's right there in the Scripture, but the application of it, the life application of it, applying it, you know, we've got a family on the ministry embroiled in a bitter lawsuit. And I talked with the brother the other day, and it's his own lawyer's coming against him. You know, it's like, what? You know, we're just trying to make a living here. We're not out coming against anybody. We didn't go to court. We were drug into it. Why? Well, when you love the Lord, when you do your best to serve him and put him as king over Caesar, over the government, over every and any other entity that there is, well, those other entities don't like that.
Yeah.
And
well,
they
when you put
hate you without
Jesus
a cause.
Jesus Christ above their God, government.
Right.
That's what they don't like. They know that
Amen.
It's the house of cards. They know that
yeah.
Babylon is fallen, and they just can't allow. They'll do everything they can not to allow victory for his people. But you know, I was thinking, too, if that little girl would have wrote, Patrick's daughter would have wrote Allah or Muhammad or something like that, she's got an A.
Yep, yeah, or Martin Luther King.
But that's the world, that's
You're
the
right.
world we live in.
You're right. You're right. Don't you think, Jason, that she'd have done that? You know, Martin Luther King, I was reminded of him. We just celebrated his national holiday, and he loved his people, and he wanted to set them free and inspire them, and I think that's great. Don't you think she'd have got an A?
Probably.
Yeah.
I
yeah.
know that's Fine. Just... Yeah, that's where you're at, and it's, I don't know, I've replied back. I'd like to find out where that happened at, because I'd like to follow up and do a story on it, and
yeah.
Get some information on it, because, you know, the thing is, too, you can sit by and you can do nothing, or you can, you know, we've got the power and authority, and we've got the power and authority to hold them accountable, too, and, you know, repent or perish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'll bet you that probably 70 to 80% of the people in that district would stand up for Jesus in that, had they known that there was something like this going on. But like you say, you have to expose it. And that's,
yep.
I think, something that we've fallen short of is we've fallen asleep as the watchman over the house of Israel, and we've let a lot of things go too far, too long. And it's time to start standing up for these things.
Yeah. Well, guys, let's try the phone lines again. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Morning, brothers. This is Marlon down in Tennessee.
Well, good morning, Marlon.
Hey, Marlon.
It's a balmy 20 degrees here. We got us about a foot of snow over the last 2 days. It's beautiful. I've been praying for it and looking forward to it. And I think that I just wish that as people would experience things like this, they would remember from time to time so that they could prepare. That's one of the ways that God shows his love for us, is by teaching his people to be prepared. My dad was one of those that preached it all the time, son, and as much as possible, you've got to be prepared for whatever may come. And then you just turn the rest over to the Lord and let him do the parts you can't handle. At least that's my take on it.
Absolutely.
Well, I enjoy the discussion this morning as well on so-called Dr. Martin Luther King. You know, I read that I believe it was the University of Kansas is where he got his doctorate, and they've even publicly stated that they would rescind that if he weren't dead, and it just doesn't serve any good purpose because they know for a fact that his thesis was plagiarized.
Huh. Yeah, I've heard the same thing too. Yep.
Yeah, that information is readily available, and it's pretty official, like on official University of Kansas stationery. Anyway, I just wanted to call and touch in, fellas. The signal is fantastic this morning, better than usual, and hope y'all are doing well and stay warm, and God bless you.
Yeah, you do the same. God bless you. Thanks, Marlon.
Thanks, Marlon.
Yep.
Appreciate it, brother.
Yep. Bye now.
Good signal in Tennessee there, 307-745-5913, if you want to call in this morning.
Well, he don't live far from the shortwave station, so if he got a foot of snow, they got a foot of snow, and praise God that it hasn't taken down the antenna. So thank
Amen.
You, Lord, for your protection and provisions, and for it to be coming in even more powerful with a foot of snow. That's the good Lord.
Amen. Amen. Maybe the people that are stranded inside for the weekend will not go shopping and not go anywhere else. Maybe the cable will be out, and they'll break out their shortwave radio if they have one, or break out their Bible. Wouldn't that be great? Maybe we should pray for that these millions of people that are snowed in would do that very thing, would go break out their Bible, dust it off, go find it first, and get it off the shelf, and blow the dust off of it.
We better pray first then that the satellite TV and the cable TV would go down.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, they say there's a lot of people without power. You know, New York, D.C., Philly, a lot of flights canceled.
Over 7,700 flights canceled. But I'd like to see D.C. encrusted in about 6 inches to a foot of ice. I might wake a few of them up.
Yeah. You know, John, you mentioned
my prayers been.
John, you mentioned earlier about memorizing scripture and remembering scripture, and I would kind of challenge you folks, or maybe at least encourage you. I don't know if I want to challenge you, but I'll encourage you to, you know, take your Bible with you when you travel. You know, we spend a lot of time in our vehicles, driving to town, driving back, commuting to work. Take your Bible with you. You know, when you have a cell phone, you take your cell phone with you. So if somebody wants to get in touch with you, or you need to get in touch with somebody else, you got that. You got your license, so if the Highway Patrol pulls you over, you got your license, registration, and insurance card. Most people, anyway. You know, we follow those kind of rules and laws or guidelines, suggestions, whatever. You know, if at all possible, we try to be at peace with all men. But take your Bible with you as well. And just have it with you.
Well, you can on your phone now.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I mean, there's so many apps anymore for your phone.
Yeah.
There's no excuse not to.
Yeah, many people do. Because like you said, John, you never know when God is going to want you to be an encouragement to somebody. You know, we've read the scripture before that you know, praise the Lord, the God, that our Heavenly Father, that comforts us. And praise God that He does. But when we read on, it says he comforts us so that, you know, we can comfort others with the same type of comfort. That's how he works. You know, it's a pay it forward type of thing. But if you're not reading your word, and you know, I know everybody works. Everybody works. But if you're not taking time to read your word, if you're not taking time to have it with you, to apply it, and I love that you brought out last week, Jason, that, you know, hey, we have to read it, but we have to apply it, you know? You know, looking for those, being cognizant, being aware of those that might be in need, that might need comforting, that might need, you know, you to come up and say, you know, I know this is tough times. I know you got bills to pay. I know that, you know, that you're having tough times in your life, but you're a Christian, right? You love the Lord? Yeah, well, look here. Remember what Romans 8:28 says? You know, he works it all for good. He works it all for good. He will. He'll strengthen you through this. He'll get you through this. You know, and you can pray with him. You know, you might have to give him a bottle of water. They might need a $20 bill. They might need a ride down to the store. They might need just somebody to buy them a cup of coffee and sit there and talk to them and encourage them. You know, we are to be doing, those are the types of deeds that we are to be doing. But we have to be aware. We have to, you know, have that Word of God richly dwell within us so that we can share it. You know, I think so many people think, oh, fulfilling the Great Commission, so I've got to be a preacher, or I've got to go stand on the street corner and yell out the gospel or something like that. No. You know, I'm reminded of the sign you've held up several times, John, that was our pastor's, and it says, you know, the best sermons are lived. And you know, that's what we are to be. We are to be that example, but it's the doing. You know, it's the giving the drink of water. It's the giving the words of encouragement. It's taking the time to stop and, you know, offer comfort, solace, pray with somebody, be a sounding board, you know, to those that need it, from a Christian perspective, of course.
Yeah. Well, the things we need to understand, though, is we always say Romans 8:28, but 37 through 39 is really powerful as well. But in all things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And they all said,
Amen.
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 Absolutely.
Now, for some reason, the Lord had me in Psalms 119 this morning.
Yeah.
Typically, I'll get up a little early and try to find some things to talk about, but this morning, I ended up in Psalms 119, which apparently is the longest Bible verse in the Bible, longest, 176 verses.
Yeah, longest chapter.
Longest chapter, yeah. And I guess there's 10 verses on righteousness, one on trustworthiness, there's 4 on truthfulness, one on faithfulness, one on unchangeableness, 2 on eternity, one on the light, and one on purity. So it's a very, very powerful psalm. I guess they pretty much everybody thinks that David wrote them, David, Ezra, or Daniel. But it kind of sums up the persecution and affliction that, as the true followers of Jesus Christ, we face, and how to overcome them by standing on the promises.
Amen. Well, that's one of the places we get in verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
Right.
And it, that's what guides us. That's our guide. That's our flashlight on a dark night. You know, that's it is. That's what is to guide us.
Well, just how it starts out. How blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. How blessed are those who observe his testimonies, who seek him with all their heart. They also do not unrighteousness. They also do no unrighteousness, excuse me. They walk in his ways. You have ordained your precepts that we should keep them diligently. Oh, that my ways may be established to keep your statutes. Then I shall not be ashamed when I look upon all your commandments. I shall give thanks to you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. I shall keep your statutes. Do not forsake me utterly.
Amen.
That's just verses 1 through 8.
Amen. Amen.
It's a long psalm, but sure is a powerful psalm. Good day to read it.
Absolutely.
If you're there in the North Carolina.
I think it ties right in with what Marlon said, when the caller from Tennessee, when he said about being prepared. You know, we do that. The prayer here, that my ways may be established to keep your statutes. You know, to me, that's preparation. Lord, help, you know, help my way be established to follow you, to serve you with all my, to love you with all my heart, mind, soul, spirit, body, in word, action, and deed. And when we do that, we are prepared for what happens, whether it's sickness or loss of job or, you know, a blizzard of the year, whatever it may be. You know, we're prepared, we're ready.
What I find sad is that even those who, you know, call themselves Christians, they buy into this climate change and global warming and that, you know, man is destroying the earth and this and that. And I said, don't you understand that sin affects the weather, just like the message that Jason played, I believe it was last week.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, last week.
If, you know, Deuteronomy 28 is clear. If you haven't read it, read it. The first 15 verses are all of the blessings that God will bestow upon his people if we but keep his commandments, his statutes, and his laws. 16 through 68 are the curses because we don't. We're deep into the curse phase. If we would just have a revival in this land, people would fall upon their face and cry out to God, 2 Chronicles 7:14. We wouldn't have to worry about these environmental things. We wouldn't have to worry about anything. God would take care of us just like he's always done.
Yep.
But they can't even grasp that. That's what it's disheartening to see. Those people who really think that they're, you know, understand the Bible and God, that they have no idea that, hello, who do you think's in charge of it? It ain't Mother Nature.
Sure.
It's God that's in charge of the weather.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of times that's those Sunday Christians, you know. They know God's got Sunday, and they pray to him, and they'll get dressed up and go to church sometimes. And he's good on Sunday, but the rest of the week it's Mother Nature this he's not the center of their life, that's for sure.
Well, the good news is, I believe God's saying he's had enough of the church of Laodicea. Mm-hmm. Choose you this day who you shall serve. If Baal be God, then serve Baal. And you know what? Government's Baal. Government's a false god. And if you decide that you're going to serve a false god and serve government, well, there's consequences to that, you know. But as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Well, Jason, can you give us a preview, just a hint? Just a hint, maybe, at what we'll have for a message tomorrow at church?
I can tell people that if they show up for church tomorrow by going to www.scriptoresforamerica.org, that they'll probably see a message by a guest speaker.
Oh, awesome.
They won't be disappointed. That's what we can tell you.
You can tell them that.
Amen. Amen. Well, that's what we'll tell you then, folks. You heard it right from Jason. That's who puts them together. We do invite you to come to church with us on Sunday morning. If you're going to drive down to LaPorte, just give us a call. Let us know you're coming. We like to know that. Make sure we have enough coffee on. But you can join us. Go into scriptures4america.org. That's right there on your computer, www.scriptures4america.org, starting at 10 a.m. Mountain Time, 11 a.m. Central, noon on the East Coast. And join us. And like the men said, you won't be disappointed. And gives you the opportunity to sing praises to the Lord Jesus Christ, to sing that new song to Him. We are to do that very thing. The Bible tells us to do that. And it gives you an opportunity to fellowship with the saints, even if it's just through the computer. It's better than no fellowship. And it gives you the opportunity to remember what our Lord and Savior did when He went to that cross. And we will partake of communion. And we'll have the emblems, the broken bread and the cup of the vine, or the and you know, we'll pray over those, we'll partake of those, and it gives you an opportunity to do that very thing. And it's an important part of being a Christian. It's a ritual, yes, but so much more. You know, He tells us, do this in remembrance of Me. And so it gives us a structured time to obey that commandment. And we are to do that. We are. So we encourage you to do that. We try to invite you every Saturday morning to remind you to come. You know, you can invite others as well. You can tell them, hey, just tune in, scriptures4america.org. You know, 10 a.m. Sunday morning, Mountain Time, 11 Central, if that's where you're at. And, you know, see what you think. Well, our hour's about up, men. Well, guys, thanks for joining us. And, Remnant, we thank you for joining us. Again, we pray for those in the Northeast that this blizzard, that you're protected. And we know that just as we read in Psalms that His Word is a lamp unto our feet, He also is a protection, a stronghold, a refuge, a fortress, a bulwark to those that love Him, that put their trust in Him. He protects His remnant. Well, remnant, have a blessed weekend. Amen. We'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old stakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, stake high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out. Ride them out, ride them more, stake high.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, barking will be waiting at the end of our ride.